It's much easier to live out what it is you believe. So if you don't know what you believe, you'll be going back and forth, back and forth, this way, that way, and not getting anywhere because you're not able to follow that line of what you believe, I guess, to its logical conclusion in doing the things you believe in. So we proclaim an affirmation of our faith each time we gather. This affirmation from the Apostles' words in the Gospel, in Acts chapter 2, where the Apostle is quoted as saying, "Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. He was put to death by nailing him to the cross, but God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him." The reading of God's word for today is from Matthew chapter 22, verses 15 through 21. "Then the Pharisees went out and laid plans to trap him," that is, trap Jesus in his words. "They sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians. 'Teacher,' they said, 'we know that you are a man of integrity and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. You aren't swayed by others because you pay no attention to who they are. Tell us then, what is your opinion? Is it right to pay the imperial tax to Caesar or not?' But Jesus, knowing their evil intent, said, 'You hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? Show me the coin used for paying the tax.' And they brought him a denarius. And he asked them, 'Whose image is this? And whose inscription?' 'Caesar's,' they replied. Then he said to them, 'So give back to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's.'" May the Lord bless the reading of his holy word. We are glad at Daleville Christian Church that we can post the message that is heard Sunday mornings at Daleville Christian Church worship. We desire that you too be in worship somewhere to praise our God and give thanks for the gift of Jesus Christ. If you would be in our area, we welcome you to attend Daleville Christian Church Sunday mornings and find all the information on the website. But be in some worship somewhere for our God and the gift of Jesus. This phrase that almost everyone knows, even people who have not read the Bible, is found in today's Bible reading. "So render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's." We're going to talk about the import of Jesus' words, but before I do, allow me to say that I am kind of known for not preaching politically toned sermons, and I don't plan to change that. However, some might get the idea that this sermon is political. It is not intended to be political. Politics is not my intention. Jesus is my intention. But before we get into it, I also want to say that some people hated our last president of the United States. Some people hate our present president of the United States. As a pastor, I think that means that all of those people who are believers and hated the president have also prayed for the president. Right? Why would I believe that? Because the Bible tells us to pray for the political authorities and pray for people who are against us. So whether someone hated the last president or the present president, They were all united in prayer. I'm pretty sure I'm right about that. It is good for God's people to pray. The ancient church was asked to pray for the Caesars. Julius Caesar was a person, but eventually the word Caesar was a title, like emperor. The ancient church prayed for the Caesars and all the emperors of Rome. And all of those emperors of Rome were pagan, worshiping, murderous tyrants. And it went on like that for over 100 years. But the church prayed for them anyway. The sermon today is not political, but the sermon for July 4th Sunday will be more political, and the sermon on July 1st is going to be about coffee. So you'll want to be here for that one. Today's message is based partly, partly on Pastor Todd Burpo's book, God is for Real, written with David Drury. You might remember the name of Todd Burpo. He also authored the book, Heaven is for Real, A Little Boy's Trip to Heaven. But for today's message, there is a lot of backstory in Jesus' words, and I believe that it's helpful, if not essential, to get that backstory. Jesus was in the city of Jerusalem for Passover. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all agree that Jesus was teaching that Holy Week. One movie about this scene places it in the temple precincts, which makes a good movie, although the Bible does not make that clear, that Jesus' words that we read today were pronounced in the temple precincts. Matthew tells us ahead of time that the whole question is a setup as a trap by the Pharisees. Notice, though, that the Pharisees do not go in person to pose their question. The Pharisees send their own disciples. Yes, the Pharisees, like Jesus, had disciples. What on a college campus we might call a class or a school, students who want to and do talk to the professor about questions in the course material. Jesus and the disciples do not appear at all strange going across country as a group. Jesus and the disciples are only doing what others are doing in learning and discussing God's word. It's just that in Jesus' circle, there present is God himself. A group with the Pharisees, disciples are the Herodians. Who are they? No one knows for sure. If you would like to earn a PhD, write a thesis on who the Herodians are. With some decent evidence, you probably can earn your PhD on that topic. The Herodians carry the name of Herod as identifying the group. One suggestion is that they are supporters of Herod. However, in what way? Are they for Herod because Herod works with Rome and managed to do it fairly well so that the Jews were able to keep the temple and their worship? Or are they for Herod because Herod is nominally Jewish and nominally a Jewish king, just the way they believe it should be? My guess is that the Herodians are for Herod, and Herod has made himself a cushy position with the Romans. Herod has worked hard to be on good terms with the Romans, so Herod is for the Romans, and Herod wants the Romans to be for Herod. Many Pharisees feel that Herod is too friendly with the Romans, so Herod compromises too much, some of them felt. So when this group poses their question, is it right to pay the imperial tax? These two groups may represent each side of the answer that Jesus makes. Jesus cannot win. If Jesus says, don't pay the tax, the Pharisees may be glad and the Herodians angry. If Jesus says, pay the tax, the Herodians will be glad and the Pharisees angry. And these are only two groups in the Jewish faith that we know something about. All the other groups may have different opinions. This group asks the question to Jesus by first claiming that they respect Jesus' opinion, when in fact this group does not respect Jesus' opinion. Their question is especially designed for Jesus to want to answer the question. They have given Jesus an open forum to teach, because what they really asked is this: Jesus, you are a teacher of the law of God, and you don't care what others think of you. You only care about the truth. So tell us the truth about Caesar's taxes from the Jews. Is it right for us to pay those taxes? This group is indeed crafty, and I use the word crafty because remember what the Bible says about the serpent in the garden, the most crafty of all the creatures. And Matthew tells us that these men have evil intent. Jesus calls them on it and tells them to their faces, "You hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? Show me the coin used for paying the tax." And they brought him a denarius. And he asked them, "Whose image is this and whose inscription?" "Caesar's," they replied. Then he said to them, "So give back to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's." The coin that Jesus held did indeed have Caesar's image on it. Some Jews would not carry those coins because of the image of a pagan man on it. Jesus' point is that the coins are the Roman coins anyway. So give the coins back to the ones who made the coins. So Jesus is not in rebellion against Rome, but Jesus remains loyal to the Heavenly Father, saying give to God, literally saying give back to God what is God's. Notice, Jesus says what you give to Rome is limited to what is Roman. Jesus says what you give to Rome is limited to what is Roman. But for God, there is no limitation. Give back to God what is God's. When the demands of Caesar and the demands of God get mixed up, person can get confused and in trouble. But if you don't get them mixed up, a person can do both. But there is no one answer. There is no straightforward or simple rule. Jesus calls us to weigh the demands of the two authorities, God and man, or we might say God and government, the two authorities. Jesus is saying that kingdom of God currency is the currency to be concerned about. Go ahead and give the Romans their currency. Yes, the Romans are pagans and often cruel and nasty from Caesar's on down, but it's their coin, so give it back to them. Jesus disappointed the zealots and some of the Pharisees and some of their followers. Jesus was saying, don't fight the Romans with their own money. Don't protest the Romans with their money. If you're going to protest Rome, protest on God's level by making sure you are giving everything to God that is God's. Pastor Todd Burpo suggests that when people ask about the image on the When Jesus asks about the image on the Roman coin and the image is Caesar, Jesus may subtly be saying that you and I are to give to God what is in God's image, which is you and me. Jesus may subtly be saying, by asking about the image on the Roman coin and then telling us to give to God what is God's, maybe suggesting that we should give God the coin that is in God's image, which is you and me. The coin in God's image is ourselves. Now, you and I know that some people would rather give God the coins with the president's images on them. People will give Lincoln's and Washington's and Jefferson's. But even some Christians hesitate to give Grant's or Benjamin Franklin's. He was never president of the United States, but his portrait's on the $100 bill. Christians don't put in the plate often the image of McKinley or Cleveland or Madison, dollar bills of $500, $1,000, and $5,000. However, some Christians that do put those images in the offering plate believe that they have given back to God what is God's. But have they? Even if you put a McKinley or a Cleveland or a Madison in the offering plate, have you given back to God what is God's? You and I are in the image of God. We find that in the first book of the Bible, the first chapter of the Bible. The Lord wants what is made in His image. Does He not? Here's the tough part. Knowing which kingdom we should trade with which coins. To the earthly kingdoms, we give the earthly kingdom coins. To the Heavenly Father, we give the kingdom of God coins. We have said more than once at the offering, even though the church's treasurer always gets nervous when we say it, the Lord doesn't need your money. But the Lord does want you. In the last couple of years, I've reflected on the event in Jesus' life of the conversation with the rich young ruler. Americans always are saddened by Jesus' demand that the rich man sell all his things. That's natural, because the Bible says the rich man had many possessions. However, that isn't all that Jesus said, even though that's where most Americans focus with some dread, that he's asked to give up his many possessions. But Jesus added that the rich man was then to follow Jesus, and the follow-up of what Jesus says is something about treasure in heaven. In recent years, I've come to appreciate that the rich man may not have been all that attached to his possessions. I believe it likely that the man was an entrepreneur. He could always make more money. Selling the possessions might be difficult, but he could always get more money and then get more possessions. But when Jesus added, "and follow me," that is when the Bible says, when the young man heard this, he went away sad. So Jesus adds, after the man goes away full of sorrow, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Why is it difficult? Because they have a lot of stuff? Maybe. But maybe they only know how to trade in earthly coins. They do not have a clue how to use spiritual currency. The rich may not know how to give to God what is God's. If the rich have been successful, they might give themselves credit for being successful. Jesus tells the story of a farmer whose fields just happened to produce abundantly. That's exactly how Jesus tells the story. And that farmer's exact words, when his fields happen to produce abundantly, "What am I going to do with my bumper crop?" Jesus' story asks the question, is the bumper crop the farmer? Did it belong to the farmer? Is the bumper crop the farmer did not work for? The farmer's bumper crop? How easily we think and believe that by our own efforts we have gained. Whose image is on your coins? Is not the Lord's image on the spiritual coins of the kingdom of God? Jesus said, "Save up treasures in heaven." If we are poor in possessions, or we are poor in money, that money is made by the government anyway. You have to give so much of it back in taxes anyway. But even if we are poor in U.S. currency, Jesus calls us to put treasure in heaven. The currency of the kingdom of God has the Lord's image on it, and you and I carry that same image. Give back to God what is God's. Amen.